I don't believe Joe could have picked a better song for what we're going to be looking at this morning with regard to the Ethiopian eunuch. Tonight, Josh Steed will be in charge of our worship and wants you to make sure that you're here. I think it's going to be like an interview kind of thing, and you'll enjoy that and be benefited from it as we learn more about each other. And Josh will be directing us in that. I think it was David White in one of his classes recently that mentioned something about the fact that there is no preacher who is giving anything that is original to him. Because if he is, it's not worth listening to. He didn't necessarily say that, but that's the truth. Because everything we say in classes, in sermons, whatever we do, we're repeating what God has already said. Paul makes that clear in the book of Galatians. We make known what Jesus has said, what Jesus has made known. That's what we're doing. That's going to be very true with regard to our lesson this morning. We're going to have the first slide. We're not going to show it right now. It's going to be a map. But before we look at that map, I want you to kind of peruse with me through the book of Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26, which is the story Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we just want to kind of tell the story, remind ourselves of it before we begin, and then we're going to come back and repeat some of the things. You remember that Philip had been in Samaria, north of Jerusalem. He was in Samaria, and there he was preaching the gospel because of the persecution that arose in Jerusalem. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south. I want you to go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem toward Gaza." Gaza is in the country of the Philistines. And Gaza is right on the seacoast of the Mediterranean Sea. And so he was to come down from Samaria, come all the way down to the south and go toward Gaza, toward the Mediterranean Sea. And somewhere along that journey, he would meet this individual. He arose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, an official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of her treasury. And this man was returning from Jerusalem because he had been there to worship, and he was heading back home to Ethiopia, and he was seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Join yourself to this chariot." And as Philip ran over to the chariot, he heard him reading. And he heard that what he was reading out of Isaiah was this passage. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." He was reading about the man who is going to die for the sins of all, that all of our sins were laid on him by God. And he's reading that passage, and that's where he's reading. When Philip hears what he's reading, he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian said, "How can I unless somebody helps me?" So he invited Philip to come up into the chariot, and Philip did, and he began from that passage and told him about Jesus Christ. And they came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And according to the King James Version, Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now the map. This is a map of Africa. If you can see it, this area right up here is where Jerusalem is and Israel. Ethiopia is here. The journey that the man was taking to get up there is up here. Now he's on his way home, and he's going to Gaza. I don't know if he's going to stay landlocked until he comes over and maybe comes down. The Suez Canal wasn't built until late 1800s, but Solomon had his ships in this area in order to go down to this area of Africa in order to mine for gold. And the Ethiopian is following somewhat of that journey, and he's coming here and maybe going down the Red Sea or maybe staying on land, but he comes eventually to Ethiopia, a journey of over 1,000 miles by chariot. Keep that in mind as we look at some things and as we go through. Ethiopian eunuch. There's another Ethiopian we talked about last week, and that was Ebed-Melech, who was the Ethiopian that saved Jeremiah from the cistern and pulled him out of it. This is a different one in the New Testament, and this one is unnamed for us, but he's an important man. He's a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And in the New Testament, the idea of him being a eunuch is a little more narrow than the idea of the word in the Old Testament. And the question, why would the Lord send Philip to him? Philip was doing a work in Samaria. He was doing a work in a city that was going to have impact to a nation of people. And God pulls him from Samaria and sends him to one man. Sends him to one individual and a pretty long journey to be able to get to that one individual. Why would God do that? It may be because of a promise that God made. If you want to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, that promise is given in the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to focus on one verse of that promise. But Jeremiah chapter 29, starting with verse 11, the Bible will say this. We always take this verse and we pull it out of context. And verse 11 becomes a favorite verse for us. But we kind of pull it out of the context of what's being actually said. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile." That one verse, verse 13. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Why did God send Philip to this singular man? Because God saw in this man a man who was seeking him. A man who was seeking to find him. And this man seeking to find God, God sends a man solitary to go find him and to bring him to God and to where God would have him to be. I want you to think about his sacrifices to get close to God, to show how deep this man was with regard to trying to find God and trying to get close to God and to be what God would have him to be. His trip, as we saw on the map, was over 1,000 miles in length. I don't know if he had companions with him, if he had officials that were with him or not. Everything that said about him was that he was in that chariot, he was sitting down, he was reading out loud. I don't know if he was traveling alone or if he had an entourage because of his position as treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but he makes this trip of over 1,000 miles because he wanted to come to Jerusalem to worship God. He wanted to be in Jerusalem, and so he came. Don't know how often he does it. How many times he does it. Don't know how long it took him. How long he was allowed by Candace to be away from her and not to be taking part in his official duties. But he came and he traveled over 1,000 miles because he wanted to be close to God and he wanted to honor God in the ceremony. That becomes even more striking when you read Deuteronomy 23:1. "No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off, shall enter the assembly of the Lord." So the eunuch, when he got there, couldn't fully participate in the assembly. I don't know exactly what that means, but there were restrictions toward him because he was a eunuch. There were restrictions toward him with regard to the assembly. He wasn't forbidden to be a part of the Israelite nation. He wasn't forbidden to be a part of the Israelite community. But there were some things about the assembly that, according to Deuteronomy 23:1, that he was limited in, not allowed to participate in. But he came anyway. He came anyway, no matter what those limitations might be, because he came to honor God. Even though he knew that there might be areas where he would not be invited nor allowed to participate in some things. While he's coming, the second thing that he's doing is reading and studying the Bible on his own. How much Bible had he been reading while he was in Jerusalem? How much had he heard? What all was going on while he was in Jerusalem? And now he's alone and by himself. What would you be doing? What would you and I be doing? On a journey that was going to take us a long time, and he's reading on his own and studying on his own, reading the Bible to himself in order to try to understand more of what God was saying. And you wonder why he's come to this passage. Is it because it's time for him to get there? Or is it because of things that he may have heard while he was in Jerusalem? Things that he may have heard and heard someone mention about the Christ? Was that why he was reading in this passage? We don't know. But this is where he was. This is where he's reading. And this is what he's doing. He's left Jerusalem. He's going back home to work. But he's carrying the Word of God with him. He may have already had it. And on his way, he's busying himself with reading it on his own. He's humble enough to ask for help. What would you do if somebody ran up to you while you were reading something out loud and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I know what I'd do. "Yeah, I don't need any help. I'm fine. No, I'm good. I'm good. Just going on your way. I'm good." But not this man. He was reading something out loud. And he was an important official of Candace, the queen. He was the head of her treasury. And a man is coming to him on foot, running to him. And he's in a chariot, describing his wealth and affluence. When the man asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" he quickly responds back to him, "How can I unless somebody helps me?" And he invites Philip, this stranger, up into his chariot in order for them to have a conversation. You see why God sent Philip? You see what God knew about this man's heart? You see what God knew about this individual and how much he was seeking, how much he was striving, how much he wanted to be so close to God? And that's what he's doing. Humble enough to ask for help. And then he quickly does whatever God wants him to do. They come to a body of water. "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you can." And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And as soon as they came up, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Those are the things this man did to get close to God, all of them. He was a man who strove, did whatever he needed to do, even make great sacrifices in order to be close to God. And in order to be close to God, he not only wanted to be with God's people, he not only wanted to be in connection with them as much as he could be, he also wanted to be in the place where God was recognized as being near that temple. He also wanted to be a part of God's word. And so he read it on his way home, and he asked for help with the areas that he didn't understand. There's something else about this man that we need to think about as well. He came to Jerusalem. What was going on in Jerusalem? Philip is sent to him, but Philip's not in Jerusalem. Philip had been sent out or left Jerusalem. Why did he leave Jerusalem? Same reason most of the Jews left Jerusalem. The ones who were staying behind in Jerusalem were the apostles. But the rest are many of the Christians in Jerusalem had fled it. They were no longer there. Why not? Because a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus held the garments of one of God's faithful followers, Stephen, while the Pharisees and the Sadducees were stoning him to death. And as a result of that stoning, it so strengthened Saul of Tarsus that a persecution started. And they started trying to destroy all of those in Jerusalem who were Christians, getting rid of them, putting them in prison, doing whatever they could to stop the name of Jesus Christ. That's what was going on in Jerusalem when this Ethiopian got there. And now this Ethiopian is leaving. What does he think about what was going on? Surely he's heard about Jesus. Surely he's heard about the hatred toward Jesus from so many of the leaders in Jerusalem, so many of the leaders at the temple. What's his reaction? What is he doing? He's reading on his own. He's reading Isaiah. He's trying to figure out, what does God say? What does God want? And that's what was going on in the city of Jerusalem. He was reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. For thus says the Lord to the church, For thus says the Lord, I'm jumping ahead, but let me stop right here. This passage is Isaiah 56. If he was reading Isaiah 53, and if he kept reading, he would eventually come to Isaiah 56. Maybe it could have been, we don't have any idea of it, that Philip took him to Isaiah 56. Because in Isaiah 56, there's a promise that applied to him. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and in my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. God's promise to the eunuchs in Isaiah 56. Those that hold fast to my name, those that honor me, those that serve me, I will give them a name that is far above everything else. This eunuch demonstrates to us what it means to follow God. Demonstrates to us the desire of a heart that will do whatever needs to be done in order to be in God's presence and in order to be faithful to God and in order to be in the presence of God's people so that we can encourage one another and grow together and be what God would have us to be. It's no wonder that this story is in the Bible. But there's one other thing, last thing. Do you remember what he said? When they came to the body of water, he turned to Philip and he said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me? Am I a eunuch? As a eunuch, allowed to be baptized into Christ? Am I, as a eunuch, allowed to be in full and complete fellowship? And Philip said to him, if you believe, you may. Full entrance into the body of Christ. Full entrance into all that Christ has given. No matter what his past may have done to him or had happened to him, no matter what his situation, full entrance into the body of Christ. If you believe, you may. And they both went into the water. He was baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing. There are a lot of stories about how this man may have gone back and done a great deal in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only toward his queen. There's some thought that she may have even become a Christian, or some tradition regarding that. We don't have any clear evidence of it, but also the idea of the church growing now in this area of Ethiopia because of the work done by this individual, a seeker of God. It's what God's looking for. If you seek me with all your heart, I will find you, and you will find me. And this eunuch shows us that very thing. Are you seeking God? Do you strive to want to know him? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ? Do you need to come home to Christ? We want to offer you his invitation this morning if you desire to respond, as together we stand and as we sing.